The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama, in the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Presenting Leela Rogers in The Check. And now here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
Thank you, Van Desitel. It's been a real privilege and pleasure to be associated with Leela Rogers during her presentation of deserving actors for whom she predicts stardom. In the past weeks, you have met her as charming hostess, coach, advisor, and enthusiastic booster of young people, and as a proud mother. Now, as we close our series, we're going to present Leela Rogers, the actress. But now here is Van Desitel, the man who, like our sponsor's product, not only is triple milled to a buttery smoothness, but stays fresh and sweet to the last adjective at the end of the commercial.
Now, Les, is that fair? Just because I sometimes casually mention that Skippy peanut butter is incredibly wonderful? Sure, maybe I do get carried away a little, but great goobers, who wouldn't? After all, Les, Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. And show me the poet who wouldn't rip out a rhapsody and get his iambic pentameter all excited over that flavor. Go ahead. Call me a sentimental fool, just because I get all quivery when I tell people that Skippy peanut butter has no oil separation. Here, Les, let me spread a little Skippy for you on this cracker. Now, I eat it. Doesn't that taste fantastic? What a feast, what a treat, what freshness. But, Les, do you realize that Skippy stays fresh, sweet, and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar? No wonder I get all choked up inside. It's just like the poet said. From the Straits of Minnehaha to the shores of Mississippi, if you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. And now here is our director, Les Mitchell.
And here is our star, Leela Rogers, who is an accomplished writer.
Les.
I'm trying to introduce you, Leela.
Well, Les, after all these weeks, I think the audience has heard just about all there is to tell. So let's just take the final plunge and get on with the play.
Well, I think it would take a great many more weeks to tell all of the talents of one Leela Rogers, but more about that after the play. Now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here's the play. The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Leela Rogers in The Check. There is a riot of autumn color inside the Adams house. But the real riot is taking place inside the house where Midge and Margie Adams are packing to go away to college. And Molly Adams, their mother, is working on another story. Every fall, Molly shakes out her literary talents, much as other people take warm winter clothing out of mothballs. That none of these stories is ever finished matters not at all to Molly. 10 years ago, she wrote and finished a story, and for 10 years it has made its way into one magazine editorial room after another, a lonely representative of Molly's skill. When it is sold, there will be plenty of time to finish the others. Until then, there's no time like autumn for new beginnings, according to Molly.
Mother, if you were in the middle of a kissing scene or something, could you stop and tell me where my name tapes are?
On the chest of drawers in my room, and it isn't a kissing scene, it's a murder. Murders are so good these days. Oh, there's the postman, Midge. Would you see if he's left anything?
Sure. Was that the postman's whistle?
Yes, Margie. Midge is gone for the mail, if there is any. Goodness, dear, turn around here. Oh. Is that a tear in your skirt?
I tore it on that old trunk. Gosh, Mother, I hope sometime I can have some decent luggage. All the other girls
I know, dear, really, I know. But with both of you in school at the same time, well, you know how it is.
Oh, sure, I know. Nothing but a skimpy little letter for you, Mother.
Why, girls, this letter, it's from the magazine I sent my story to. Well, isn't it out? It's so thin.
Oh, open it, Mother. Open it. Maybe it's a check.
You mean maybe I...
Oh, weepers, it does look like a check through there.
Oh, my goodness.
Here, let me open it. If it's a check, you shouldn't care. My gosh, Mother, it is a check.
Let me see. Oh, her... Margie, girls. Oh, dear, I feel a little faint. Girls,
I sold my story.
Oh!
This is a check for $500. Well, Jim, there it is. There's the check after all these years. Oh, Jim, you'll never know how I feel about that check.
Oh, Molly, honey, I'm proud of you. I bet I'm just as pleased as you are, as a matter of fact. Think of it. Your name in a national magazine.
Oh, that. Well, that'll be nice, of course, but not half so nice as being paid honest-to-goodness money for just a story.
Now, listen, Molly. I want you to spend all that money on yourself, every bit of it. Spend it for things you've always wanted and never had.
And the things I'm going to buy, nice fluffy things for the girl, something special for you,
Jim. Now, listen. You have yourself a real buying fling, but don't spend a red cent on me. I won't hear of it.
You just let me handle the spending end, Jim. I expect I'll do very nicely with it.
Midge, you know how Mother is about money. She'll buy us things right and left before she ever gets around to finding out what we really want. And then there won't be any money left. So let's get together on this thing. You know the things I want, so kind of...
Sure, if you'll keep her from buying me that drippy blue velveteen dress she thinks is just my type. Mom's an angel, but she petrifies me when she gets her hands on a little money. I expect it's a good thing we've always been sort of poor.
Look, girls, I wouldn't for the world lay a restraining hand on your mother and her money, but you know how she is. Dollars or nickels, it all looks alike to Molly. Bless her. So, see to it she doesn't buy me a thing. She's made up her mind I need a radio coat or some such fool thing. See that she doesn't buy it or anything else for me, and try to see that she buys something for herself.
We'll certainly try, Daddy. But you realize I hope that we have very little influence with Mother where money's concerned. Daddy, come and see the wonderful luggage Mother got me to take back to school. Isn't it luscious? Monogrammed and everything. Smell that new leather.
Say, that's really something. Who'd ever think the homely cow could turn into a sleek object like that?
Come on, Popsy Wopsy, turn around and give me the eye. Glamour, eh, Popsy?
Why, Midget, can this be that 17-year-old we usually look for in the folds of a sloppy Joe sweater?
Neat, aren't I? Oh, golly, I've wanted a coat like this for years and years. You've no idea how sophisticated it makes me feel. Daddy, if I'm a success at college, I'll owe it all to Mother's story.
You mean a success in rhetoric and botany, of course. Hey, Midge! Margie! Come out here. I want to show you something.
Okay. What's up, Pupsy?
All the new seat covers. Gee, Daddy, they look wonderful.
Oh, brother, blue plaid. Just what we always wanted.
Yes, I'd like to know how it happened. I went out to get in the car, and there they were. I thought gotten in the wrong bus some way. Tell me, what goes on?
Well, Mom was determined to buy you something. You know how she is. And, brother, what a struggle we had. Mom was for the radio coat, and Midge and I were for the seat covers. It was a tough fight what seat covers won.
Daddy, new formals. Mother got them for us today. Aren't we the slick chicks, though?
Silver slippers? Oh, Mother, you're a darling.
Oh, Mother, this beautiful, wicked perfume. Oh, Mother, you're so understanding. With this on, I'll never smell like just a freshman.
Now, look here, Molly. All this buying for the girls is wonderful, and they appreciate it. But so far, I fail to see a single new thing for you.
No, I'll get around to me, Jim. Just give me time. Oh, that reminds me. I want to do something nice for the store. Really, Jim, that old sign above the door looks awfully shabby. Mm-hmm. Close up, it's not too bad. You can make out Adams Brothers Hardware. But have you ever read that sign 50 feet away?
No, I can't say I've really looked at that sign in years.
Well, the A and S and Adams are so faint you can scarcely read them. Really, Jim, from a distance, it doesn't look, well, very nice at all.
Okay, Molly, if you insist on taking the profanity out of the old sign, I'll call Will Smith tomorrow and have him make us a new and decent one. Though you're probably taking away our best piece of advertising.
Oh, Jim, I don't know whether any of you can ever know what that $500 has done for me. Spending it has been one of the most exhilarating experiences of my life. Oh, did I tell you, Jim? I've been asked to address the Women's Literary Guild and be guest of honor at their tea next month. Now, fancy that.
What did you drop, Walt? The store?
Oh, sounds like it. Just a box of nails, but they sure make a lot of noise.
Yeah, well, it's so quiet around home with the girls gone now. Sounds good to hear a loud, jarring noise again.
Yeah, how's Molly taking it, Z? Having both of them gone at once for the first time.
Pretty fair. Here, I'll help you pick those up. I think she cried most of the first week, but she's snapping out of it now. Changed the furniture all around yesterday. That's always a good sign.
She buy those new drapes or something she was talking about?
Yes, he bought them yesterday.
She made that $500 stretch like it don't seem humanly possible these days. I never saw anybody have so much fun with a little money in my life as Molly's had.
Yeah, that's the trouble, Walt. It was a little money, but it looked like a lot of money to Molly.
Oh, you mean she's gone over 500 a little?
I mean she's gone over her 500 a lot.
Well, you'll kind of have to call a halt, won't you?
Well, I just can't do it, Walt. You know how it's been with us. You can't send two girls to college on peanuts, and Molly's done without things all their lives so they can have an education. This is the first real money she's had to spend since we've been married.
How much you figure she's spent altogether?
Well, up to yesterday. Oh, wait a minute. Adam's brother. Oh, hello, Molly. Huh? Oh, not much. Is that right? Well, if you like it, I'll like it. Sure, you need something nice. How much did it set you back? Yeah. Well, it sounds like it ought to be mighty fine. Sure, sounds good.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, well, that's typical of Molly. She spent her money on everyone else, not a cent for herself, and now this woman's literary something or other invited her to make a speech.
And Molly hasn't a thing to wear.
Right. Or rather, she didn't. She has now 150 smackers worth. Which puts me right behind the eight ball. Yeah, it's going to sound pretty low down for me to call a halt to her spending just when she buys something for herself for the first time.
Well, maybe you can put it off a few days.
Oh, I'm afraid to, Walt. You spent a terrific amount already, and a couple of days more... Why, a couple of days more and... Well, I just can't risk it, that's all. I'll have to drop her a hint somehow.
Well, how much you figure she's exceeded her 500?
Let me figure here a minute. I got the checks from the bank yesterday, and the total of those, plus this one for 150 she just wrote now, let's see, 8 and 5. Yeah, that's right. In the last 4 weeks, Molly has spent roughly $2,000.
We'll be back in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of The Check, starring Lila Rogers. But right now, let's listen to Van Desitel.
Maybe you can identify your personality from these three different types I shall describe. First, there's Type A. Type A people are always very practical and efficient. Among other things, they just can't be bothered with stirring messy floating oil into old-style peanut butter. So, of course, they prefer new, improved Skippy peanut butter, which has no oil separation. Or maybe you're Type B. Type B people are naturally economical and conservative. Consequently, they're very enthusiastic indeed about Skippy, because they know it's a food without waste. Type B people often rave about the fact that Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. Now, our third class, the Type C's, are the dynamic, fun-loving people. They're easy to spot because they all share a mad passion for the flavor of plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. As a result, they can never get enough Skippy, for that's exactly what Skippy tastes like. Plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts, that is. Obviously, now, your personality may be a blend of all three. You don't have to stick to just one good reason for liking Skippy peanut butter, but I'm sure of this. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Lela Rogers as Molly in The Check.
There are a few more things I'm going to get with my $500, and after that I'm going to save the rest for Christmas.
The rest of it?
Yes, I need a new tablecloth and... Oh, Jim, I saw that hunting coat you were telling Walter about the other night. I'm not surprised you like it so much. I wish you'd get it, Jim, as a present for me.
But Molly...
Oh, I forgot to tell you. We had a special for Midge, and she's awfully homesick, poor baby. She has a chance to ride home over the weekend, and she'll be here Friday night.
Oh, good. A weekend at home will straighten her out. But Molly... Molly, about that $500...
Yes?
Do you have any idea how much you've spent?
Well, I guess I could figure it up if you think it's necessary.
I think it's necessary, all right.
Well, now, let's see. There was Marge's luggage and Midge's coat and...
And that 50 you gave the church.
Yes, that 50. Well, what's the matter, Jim? You sound... Well, so sort of grim. You know I wouldn't have all that money without sharing some with the church.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to sound grim about that, 50. That was very commendable of you, giving it to the church. I'm sure Reverend Morrison appreciated
it. Oh, he did, Jim. He seemed so pleased and all well surprised. Now, let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, and irons, and the drapes.
And the seat covers, and a watch for each of the girls, and the new dishes, and my set of pipes, and Aunt Ethel's hearing aid. And...
Why, Jim, you seem to know what I spent my money for better than I do myself.
Well, Molly, honey, you know I wanted you to enjoy that money.
Oh, Jim, I have. You've no idea. Really, Jim, I think having that $500 has taken 10 years off my age. I haven't had so much fun since we were just kids. I used to hear other people talk about spending money, and I just thought of them as being sort of mercenary. But believe me, Jim, they knew what they were talking about. Money is wonderful.
Mother, it's so good to be home. Yeah. Honestly, I could just purr. I love college, and I'm having a terrific rush. But weep as I'd wake up in the night and think of you and Daddy and this nice old room. And oh, gosh, Mother, it's awful to be homesick. Oh,
I know, Midget, I know. But you'll be all right now. The first visit home always fixes things.
Oh, golly, I hope so. I feel better already. Mother, the new drapes are really neat. And that suit of yours is super terrific.
Did I tell you what happened when I bought that suit? What Minnie Taylor said to me when I tried it on?
No, but I bet it wasn't anything good.
Oh, but it was, in a way. When I came out of the fitting room, she said, "Oh, Molly, you don't want that suit. Why, that makes you look 40 years old." So I said, "Thanks, Minnie, I'm 45. So I took the suit.
Oh, that sounds just like her. It's a dream of a suit, and you look very young matron in it. Young matron, that is. Don't you feel all whipped creamy inside when you have on something that's really lush?
Oh, I don't know.
What's the matter? Don't you like the suit?
Oh, Midge, I've done something awful.
Mother, what do you mean? Does Daddy know?
Oh, I didn't mean what you're thinking, you little silly. I didn't mean to tell you, but I guess I'd better before you think it's worse than it is, if that's possible. It's about my $500.
Well, what about it?
I spent it, and I spent it, and do you have any idea how much money I've spent, Midgie?
Well, $500, I guess. That's what you had.
I've spent over $2,000. Over $2,000, Midge. Imagine.
Mother, does Daddy know?
Yes, Daddy knows, but he doesn't know that I know.
I don't think I get it.
Well, your Uncle Walter told me. Oh, not that he intended to, but I got to thinking about something your father said about the money the other night, and then he wouldn't discuss it anymore. So I had a talk with Walt. I never dreamed I'd overspent.
Gee, Mother, is it bad?
It's awful. Jim had to make it up at the bank by borrowing from the firm. So I've really been spending the company's money. Oh, Midgie, why am I always so impractical?
Well, I don't care if you are impractical. I like you the way you are. I know some girls with practical mothers, and heavens, the gruesome lives they lead.
Well, thanks, Midge. That's some comfort. But I can't convert compliments into cash, and cash is what I need right now.
Well, you'll just have to write something else and sell it, Mother.
Well, I've been trying to. Ever since Wednesday, that's when I talked to Walt, I've been glued to that typewriter, and I can't think of a thing. I start, and then I start over, and then I get to thinking about that awful $2,000.
Can't you finish some of those you started?
No, I've tried. I've tried to finish every one I ever started, but they were all so romantic and silly.
But gosh, you did fine with that first story, and that girl oozed romance.
But I wrote that story originally when I was 35 years old. You think differently when you're 35 than you do when you're 45.
You do? I thought people were supposed to be dangerous after they got to be 40. Isn't that good?
That's just a sort of gag, an unfunny one. Anyway, there's nothing dangerous about me unless it's with a checkbook in my hand. And then I guess I'm terrifying. Oh, Midge, what am I going to do?
Mother, didn't you ever even once stop to think when that $500 was going to run out?
No, I honestly never did. I didn't think at all. I was just living in a fool's paradise. The shopper's delight. That's what I am. Midge, don't tell Daddy that I know about it. My wild spending, will you? If it makes him happy to think I'm happy, well, let's let him think I'm happy.
Oh, Mother, don't cry. Please don't cry.
Midge, I don't care if you cut classes or if you've gone to college to find a husband or anything, but for goodness sake, learn to manage money. Don't let it manage you.
Oh, don't worry about me, Mother. I know how to take care of my money. Why, I've even got a Christmas savings account started out of my monthly allowance.
You have? Why, Midge, that's wonderful. Now, why can't I be like that?
I guess Grandmother wasn't as good a mother to you as you've been to us.
What in the world are you talking about? Well, goodness knows I haven't taught you anything about money.
Well, in a way you have. You used to tell us we had to come face to face with ourselves and find out what was wrong with us. And then change ourselves if we weren't good, so we'd be comfortable to live with ourselves. Don't you remember that?
Well, yes, yeah, something like that. Rather different words, though.
Well, so anyway, I've done it. Faced myself, I mean. About lots of things, but especially about money.
And you mean I haven't faced myself and haven't changed what's wrong with me?
Well, Mother, you certainly aren't comfortable right now, are you? You spent too much money, and that makes you uncomfortable. And you can't write romantic stuff like you did 10 years ago, so that makes you uncomfortable. What you need to do is catch up with yourself. You see what I mean?
In a vague sort of way, I think I'm beginning to.
Well, that's that. You want to walk down to meet Daddy with me?
No, you run along, Midge. I think I'll just sit here, sort of face to face with myself, and see if I can find out what's wrong with me. I think I've got an idea.
Say, what's cooking? Something smells wonderful.
Oh, Jim, something is wonderful. Here, let me hang up your coat.
Oh, thanks.
Sit down a while I tell you. Guess what? Three guesses what's so wonderful.
Well, let's see. Could be you.
No.
You look like something nice had happened. Oh, I know. The girl surprised us by coming home for the weekend.
No, but something almost as good. Jim, I sold another story.
Well, the girl's... Another story? Oh, no.
Oh, now, you don't need to worry, Jim. It isn't another $500 story. Just a little $200 story. And every cent of it goes to pay you back a little bit for that awful buying spree I went on after the other story.
I didn't know you knew.
I didn't know until 3 or 4 weeks ago. But now everything's going to be all right, thanks to Midge.
Midge? What's Midge got to do with it?
Well, Midge, when she was home, pointed out to me what was wrong with my entire outlook. It took me a little while to catch on. But I found out, among other things, how silly it was for me to try to write romantic stuff at our age.
What's wrong with our age?
Well, nothing at all. It's a wonderful age, especially if you use it right. That's what I'm getting at. I wrote this little article about myself and that $500 check. And the editors of the magazine wrote me, well, here, I'll read what they said. We get far too few articles written by the Frankly 40 for the Frankly 40. We want to see more of your work.
Oh, Molly, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful.
But that's not all. They go on to say they'd like me to write a series of 12 articles. And if they like them, they want to know if I consider $200 apiece adequate pay.
And do you?
I think $200 apiece is perfect pay. If they like the articles, I'll make over $2,000. And as you know, that's just what I need.
Oh, Molly, you've arrived. The time may come, and soon, when you can set your own price for your writing. Name your own figure.
Well, I don't know, but if I ever do, I know one figure I'm going to avoid. I never, never want to see another $500 check as long as I live.
And the curtain falls on the second act of The Check, starring Lila Rogers, who returns in just a moment.
Please don't judge Skippy on the basis of your experience with other peanut butters. Skippy is a new, improved peanut butter. All the drawbacks of the old-style product are completely absent. Skippy has no oil separation, no dryness, no rancidity. Skippy stays fresh to the last spoonful. Skippy Creamy Style Blue Label is triple milled to a buttery smoothness. Chunk Style Red Label is creamy with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. To determine whether you'll like Skippy, you can be accurately guided by this statement. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. And here's our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Lila Rogers, for a well-deserved curtain call. Lila, it was a performance worthy of the Rogers name.
Thank you, Les.
You know, I think another thank you is in order right about here. Thanks to you, Lila Rogers, not only for a fine performance, but for bringing such great talent to our theater during our series.
And I want to say that it was very thrilling to have the opportunity to bring such future stars, Barbara Lawrence and Johnny Fontaine, Frank Sundstrom, Ruth Brady, Alan Hale Jr., Audrey Long, and William Roy to the attention of our audiences.
Well, I'm very sure that they'll all go a long way along the Stardust Trail, Lila. You know, they turned in wonderful performances, and especially great was the performance of your greatest discovery, a young lady who has already traveled that trail, Miss Ginger Rogers.
I was proud of my child, Les, and I know she'll be proud to hear you say that. Now, I'd like to make a final prediction before I take leave of our audience's hostess. There's a young man on next week's show.
Lila.
Quiet, Les, I'm predicting. You're going to hear great things from this fine actor.
But, Lila.
I predict a great performance.
Lila, please. Our star next week is Loreen Tuttle.
And her co-star is none other than Les Mitchell. Seriously, Les, I've seen some of the many letters requesting your appearance as star on this program. Next week, the wishes of the audience will be granted, and I know they'll love every minute of it.
Well, thank you very much, Lila. And before you go, I want to extract just one promise from you. Last week, we had a vote of thanks from Ginger Rogers for prying you out of your shell. Now we all want to make certain that you're going to stay out of it.
I promise, Les. Now that I'm back in all the excitement again, I want to stay there. Before I say goodbye, I'd like to thank Barbara Fuller and Willard Waterman and the rest of the cast for a fine performance. And now, Les, goodbye.
Goodbye, Lila. God bless you and thank you.
In the cast, you heard our star, Lila Rogers, as Molly, Barbara Fuller as Midge, Sandra Gare as Margie, Bill Waterman as Jim, and Victor Rodman as Walter. The Check was written by Helen Sloan Sorrells, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for being our guests, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each week and hear such stars as Les Mitchell, co-starring with Loreen Tuttle, Buddy Rogers, George Koulouris, Virginia Bruce, and many other great actors in great stories selected especially for them. Dan Desitel speaking. For the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.